Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome to Comedy Album Book Club. This week, we have the incredible Sarah Ashby. She's brought us the incomparable Maria Bamford and her special, special, special. So stay tuned and enjoy the show. Everyone, it's me, your host, Matt Ardill, and welcome to Comedy Album Book Club. This week, we have the incredible, amazing, hilarious Sarah Ashby. You may have heard her album, Ooh, What Is This? You may have seen her around Toronto. You may have seen her on Roast Battles, tearing it up. She is truly awesome, and if you get a chance, go and see her because she rocks. She brought us the terrific special, Maria Bamford, special, special, special. This 2012 special was recorded and filmed in Maria's home. She had Jackie Cation opening for her and Wayne Fetterman, another comedian, playing the piano. Aside from the cast and the crew, the only people there were the audience, which were her parents. And I cannot imagine the nerves going through her head when she performed for her mom and her dad, who she impersonates constantly. But yeah, so this is a great conversation. Please stay tuned and enjoy the show.
Prescription to have fun. Oh, there's a new building in my neighborhood, and ever had that happen? We don't know what it is, and it says Vineyard Outreach or Oasis or my neighborhood was called The Rock, and there's a guy handing out some flyers. You coming on down to The Rock this weekend? We got live music, food, drink, stuff for the kids. That sounds like church. No, it's a teen center with community-based health initiatives and a pregnancy counseling. Yeah, it's church. I wouldn't get mad, but they have genuinely tried to trick me.
You want to come to a show?
Yeah, where's that?
Cool new coffee shop.
Well, yeah, what's it called?
Crossroads.
No! Stop lurking behind your Jimi Hendrix font.
Welcome to Comedy Album Book Club. This week, I am joined by Sarah Ashby, a comedian, a hilarious person, and thank you for joining us today. So you chose Maria Bamford's special, special, special. So yeah. What drew you to that album?
So, like, I remember when it came out, I, like, I've been a fan of Maria's for like a bit, but when the album mm-hmm. itself came out, I was like, that's such an interesting idea for like the special to do it only in front of like the people, you know, basically. I just got to see how it works. I need to know how she was able to do it. And it's so amazing. Like, so funny. And like, it was one of those specials where I was like, I have to show other people this. This is so silly. Like,
yeah, like one of the things I thought was really neat about it, because like she's from that alternative comedy world. And I mean, a lot of people think that's a style, but really alternative comedy comes from alternative space. Right. It's like because these are all these L.A. comics who were performing in Chinese restaurants and laundromats and it's because they couldn't get club time. And this is kind of like her and Jackie Cation, who opened up for her. And then there's Wayne Fetterman, who is playing the piano, are all sort of part of that world. Like Jackie's doing an album or a special right now. I think it's online already, where it was completely recorded in the rear view cam of her car. So but it's just that they experiment with space in ways that are interesting. Yeah. And I thought, you know, one of the neat things, too, is the little interstitials that she had there, like using the space in different ways that brought you into the moment there.
Yeah.
So where did you first hear about Maria?
Right. So I first heard about her actually through a friend, Caitlin Langelier, actually through Humber College. She turned me on to her. And then Maria actually came to talk to us at Humber and gave like one of the most. Yeah, she gave like the most honest, I think, an open interview I've ever seen anyone give, because she just like is so good. Like, it's so weird to be like someone so good at being themselves. But it's literally that, like, she's so herself mm-hmm. that it was like refreshing. And like, I was just like enthralled after that. And so when the special came out, I was like, this is amazing. This is literally like who she is, but like shown in like you said, in a creative way where you're playing with like a different space than the clubs or things we're used to. Like it's, yeah, like she has the setup, but it's in her own home. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, I got to see her. I've seen her a few times performing. I've never had the joy of, I tried to get her for an interview actually years ago. Didn't happen because she has anxiety and stuff. She's very open with that. And so she's careful about who she sits down with. And that's totally understandable. Like coming into Toronto for JFL 42 back when it was a thing and when it was called that. Yeah. I could understand not wanting like to meet up with some random guy who messaged you on Facebook, but she put me in touch with Jackie Cation, who was an awesome interview. But she's very friendly and open, even in those sort of small, like she didn't need to respond to my interview request at all, but she did and was really sweet. And then turned around and said, you know, I'm not going to be able to do it, but what about this person? And Jackie was great. Like I went on, I hosted or I produced a comedy festival a couple of years ago, and I had Jackie headlining one of the shows because she did a lot of Zoom stuff over the pandemic and it was all about Zoom comedians. So it's just she created this connection, and yeah, it's just like, she's just very open, very giving. It's really incredible. Now, what are some of your thoughts on this special? Like what really grabs you about it?
Yeah. Like, okay. So obviously like her content itself, like the way she always just like takes such weird spins on everything. It's always like, again, like you said, like it's refreshing to see someone being like, again, like so themselves, but open, welcoming, like it's a show no matter where she is. And I think that's kind of what drew me in with the, yeah. Right. Like you're like, no matter what she's going to put on, it's going to be amazing and entertaining. And I just need to like see how she does it. Plus like, I know a lot of, probably like a lot of comedians who either live in Toronto or surrounding areas, when you go and do a show for your parents or for like your family is just there, it feels literally like that. Like no one else is there, but you're just focusing on like, oh my God, like what are they going to say after? Am I going to get in trouble for saying something? Like, and grabbing that feeling too was so good of just like, yeah, like the people you kind of care about their opinion the most watching you, like what would it be like to just be in the room with them alone? And it's so like wonderful to see the support her parents give her as well. It was just so cute.
Yeah. Especially since so much of her material is about them and features them. Like one of her favorite bits that my wife and I have are whenever she impersonates her mom. It's because it's like, it's so bang on in so many ways. And it's just like, oh, this is so funny, but also so dark in so many ways when she does stuff with her mom too. It's like, oh, you know, she can't, you know, and I'm like, oh my Lord, like talking about that person who told the joke to her. And it's like, oh, that's, and yeah, I did a show last Christmas sort of time and my mom was in town and I wasn't supposed to be a part of the show. I was just taking pictures, but they had somebody drop out. So they ended up like giving me like 10 minutes. So I'm like, okay, pulling together a set. But like, all I can think of is my mom is watching me right now. And I mean, at least I had like the buffer zone of like a bunch of other people and my sister and my wife. But yeah, I can't imagine. It's brave. I genuinely feel like that's a really brave choice as far as a comedian is concerned.
100%.
Now, one of the things I really liked was how she used the space too. Like you have the cutaways and every once in a while she'd like turn to the camera on her left and just like look dead down the barrel of that camera, which felt like a kind of an aside, but generally it was like this really tight close-up which most specials like don't do. Like they're usually, you know, mid wide shot with, you know, lots of back and forth and then, you know, movement on the stage. It felt like really neat too. Like how she uses her face. Like what do you feel about like her facial expressions and how she used that like really intimate kind of interaction?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Like the way she set it up with like the camera angles and everything was like so specific and well done. And like, I agree. I don't know, maybe it's like the weird, like old school thing in me of like, I like seeing the Steadicam and seeing somebody like doing a set while you can see the space instead of like the camera following and jumping kind of everywhere nowadays. Like it was like refreshing to be like, oh yeah, like okay, it's set, it's there. But you're right, like every like little close-up or nuance or everything was so well articulated. Even her like stopping to give her dog eye medication or like go and pick up a pizza. Like I loved that, like kind of into her world of like, yeah, of course this is a comedy like special, but you're also kind of getting the Maria Bamford show like she used to do, like a piece of it in the special as well, which was so nice because like she's just a character anywhere she is. So even going like taking the burnt cookies out of the oven was like hilarious. Was giving them to everybody and making them eat them.
And you really, when watching this, you can see a lot of the heart of Lady Dynamite from Netflix, like in there, like the sort of the zaniness that is inherent to her. That's not, it's not just a bit. But yeah, it's really cool. Like I mean, you know, Bert is adorable, you know, who played Blueberry in the show in her sitcom. But like, I'm an ugly pet owner too. Like, I mean, pugs are adorable because they're so funky. And I'm not a dog owner, but I have a couple of Devon Rexes, which look like they're all ears and eyes. So like a pug, they're just weird to look at, and it is just something about an ugly pet that just like they're all the more beautiful for it, I find. But
exactly, we have the same. We found a cat, and she has a squish face. So same thing. We're always like, oh, she's so beautiful, but like kind of you know, like,
you're just like, and now, like, we'll visit my mom, or we visited some of Heather's family, and they have normal cats, and they look weird to me now. Like,
yeah,
it's like, no, I don't. This just, you can take your cat. I'm good, thank you. Now, she does a lot of impressions, like, and not just not really her character work, really, more than impressions. I mean, they're clearly obviously based on somebody she's encountered there. But she just, there's no, I like, again, I mean, I, a lot of, when you do an album, there's not going to be a lot of fat, hopefully, or a special, not a lot of fat, because, you know, you will work the material and refine the material. But, you know, again, I saw her Comedy Bar, just, you know, in the main stage once, and it was just such an intimate, that's such an intimate space. So it's not just in the special, in all of her performances she's like this. There's not a lot of breathing room. And I find, like how do you feel, because she really goes like from joke to impression to joke to joke to impression. How do you find that makes you feel while watching this?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Like, I feel like it's like the weird nervous, like, I gotta fill the silence sort of thing, even though she's always getting laughs. But it's almost nice in that way where, like, the first time you watch it, you miss a lot because of how fast it is. And then the second time you watch it, you find even more to laugh at. And it's like one of those things where every single time I feel like I watch it, I find something else that's new and funny just because of, like, you said, how much is coming out at once and how much to intake at once. And I feel like I adapted that into my own comedy in a way because of, like, just how much you're just like, I love something that has layers and layers and layers to it, which, like, she tends to do with her humor and her material. So getting to see that was, like, super cute as well, with everything. And, like you said, even with the impersonations are so, like, specific but funny. Like, I got to see her also live for JFL RAP a while back. Yeah, same, like, the jumping from all the different impersonations, like, going from just normal voice to, like, baby Satan to, like, the, like, most obscure stuff. So good and funny, and, like, yeah, like, you feel like you can't breathe because it's so much, but it's so good all at once.
Like, do you in the special, do you have a favorite bit? Or, I mean, hard to say a favorite joke because it's all so dense, but is there a moment that you really find the most joyous for you?
Oh my God. Yeah. Just like, it's like you said, like, the topics she picks to choose to say in front of her family and stuff, like joking about killing her best friend, joking about, like, OCD, like, everything, and, like, getting to see her family just, like, loving and reacting to it. Cause, like, yeah, like, I feel like now I'm trying to write more, like, not serious stuff, but things that are more serious in tone, but can still be made light of. And trying that out when I went back to London recently was terrifying because I was like, I'm more scared to do the more, like, personal, specific things than I am to just do, like jokes, like dirty jokes, basically. In front of my family. And she was just openly doing it constantly and, like, talking about mental health struggle and talking about everything. And I think that was, like, a very, like, humanizing thing of her special, which was really, really great to see. Cause she does, like, really humanize herself and kind of, like, bring everyone in together, like a community sort of thing when she is on stage. So to see it brought into her special was so nice too.
Yeah, I feel like in some ways, like, she really is kind of the first high profile comedian to really delve into, like, there have been other comedians who've talked about mental health and Richard Pryor did Live on the Sunset Strip where he talked about his addiction and mental health issues. But I feel like she's sort of the most the contemporary voice coming out of that, like, 90s Seinfeld brick wall observational kind of era. She's the first to really modernize and speak to that, I feel, in a lot of ways. And it feels like, I mean, at least for a lot of people I know, it feels like she gave them permission to explore that, because I know quite a few people who talk about mental health in their sets, and it's wonderful that she gave that opportunity. Like, when she's talking about the 72-hour lockdown that she was in, like, I'm like, talking about that in front of your parents. Oh my God.
Nuts, right? Like, but in a good way. Just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, she went there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love the, I mean, love, hate, kind of thing. I love the impression she does of that horrible person. She's like, yeah. Oh, I give you permission. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, only in LA. It's like such a scathing indictment of LA and the LA culture in this special. But yeah, it's bonkers. Yeah, for me, I have to say the interaction between her and the kid is one of my favorite bits.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's just like you get to see the range in her voice.
Yes.
Because it's like but also it's like an interesting so there's the one layer where she's doing the really kid voice, but her self voice is like
yeah.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it's like, oh wow, that's like, it's just kind of an interesting layer there. Now she did some relationship stuff. Now you talk on your album, Ooh, What Is This, you get into relationship material. Did you like draw any inspiration or find any sort of, I mean, it's very different material, obviously, but did you find any like the guidance or ideas or sort of paths to explore through watching this when doing your own album?
Yeah, 100%. I think it was like a few months before I watched the special again before recording the album, because I was just like, I need to feel that like that feeling where like you can create something like this and it'll be like well received, or it'll be like silly, it'll just be something to put out there. But yeah, like definitely I just like you said, like the way that she just always conducts herself, like even watching her live, seeing her just drag the microphone stand around with her just adds like a whole other layer to her performance. And like even though it was just an album recording, I was still like, I need to remember all that, like the nuances, the like pauses, the like things that she does so well with her storytelling. And like and like you said, even the permission to just be yourself and be open and talk about anything. I feel like that door that she opened is just like a floodgate now, which is awesome, because like it used to be hard. Like it used to be weird to talk about yourself and your struggles or your struggles with relationships. It should always be, oh, you're kind of like making fun of like something else, but she kind of made it, you can punch at yourself as well as everybody else in a sense. Yeah. And I think that's what people relate to. So now writing material or even writing for the album where I was like, okay, how do I make something so specific to me, like the interaction she has, but make it accessible the way she makes hers accessible? Like, it's an awesome like thing to even try to practice or stuff like that, or even like throwing a weird voice in, or the way she views herself, even with her doing her silly voice for herself, is like always how I view myself too. I'm like, oh yeah, like everyone's a normal person in my brain, and then I'm just a little like a goblin basically.
Yeah, one of the things I love about her is that permission she gives us, like, yeah, just on so many levels. And I mean, we've all encountered it, the sort of the machismo and bravado in a lot of comedy where it feels awkward. Like there's certain spaces in the city where I'm just like, I would never perform here, just because it's like, it's not an audience that would appreciate anything that I would have to say. And it's like, you know, but there's nothing and that's why what I love about that, the entire, like her and Patton Oswalt and all that sort of like generation of alternative comics that came up, is they sort of really set, you know, sort of set that stage where it's like, create your own spaces, find your own voices.
Yeah.
And she kind of touches on this, like, you know, you think you're a horrible person. There's like billions of people out there. You're not alone. You're not alone.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
So, which is like, she puts it in the context of, you know, you think you've done a horrible thing. You're not the only person, but it's also like in this other context, you can flip that, and it's like, you have this thing that you find funny. There's going to be somebody else out there who finds it funny.
100%.
And just embrace that. So,
yeah, absolutely. I always forget too, like her and Patton Oswalt were alternative comic, because like, I feel like the term alternative comedy has changed so much over the years, where like it used to mean, like people just doing stuff that was different than what was like observational or like things like that, and being more open about yourself. And now it's more like, oh yeah, someone goes on stage and they have like a piece to go with like their set. Like it's like a whole act out sort of thing. But like, it's so fascinating. Yeah, the, like, that was alternative comedy back in the day, was being open and honest about a lot of stuff. Like you said, that maybe people experience, maybe they don't, but like to put it out there and see if it hits is just like so awesome. Like it opens like a well, like it opens so much up. It's so cool.
Yeah. And I mean, I can't imagine on one of those like 1980s brick wall comedy shows, like somebody doing, oh, I'm fluent in fake or pretend tiger. You grew up in London, so you may have had a similar experience to me in Cambridge, which is like a similar, Cambridge is a little bit smaller, but similar profile.
Similar vibe.
I loved the bit about the mysterious building going up next door and it turning out to be a because that happened all the time. At least by the time I was leaving, when the evangelicals started sneaking in, like they bought a house that we lived in and apparently had like a 3-day sort of exorcism.
Oh my god!
But I swear it was haunted as fuck. personally, I was the goth kid, and I never got to see any ghosts. But my brother and sister were like, all the time, and I'm like, I wear a black eyeliner and have Robert Smith hair. Why can't I see a ghost? For God's sake,
like, it should be open to me if anyone.
I just love that. Like, stop hiding behind your Jimi Hendrix font. Kind of thing. Yeah. It's like all calling out all these little things that they do. So she went on to write a book, Sure I'll Join Your Cult, a memoir of mental illness and a quest for belonging anywhere. And I think it's like, you know, is that she sort of goes in that direction about it, I think is funny and interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Now, it's so funny.
Go ahead.
That would be good. Yeah. Like, I agree with the, like, trying to find, I think we all struggle, like you said, with the, like, the sense of belonging, or like, especially, mm-hmm. I feel like I always say, like, we all have like comedy brain if you're in the biz or you like the biz or something, where like, you can't get out of it. Everything's a joke almost, or it could be a joke, or what if this is a joke? And so to see her just taking on other things to be like, yeah, maybe I can belong in like a cult, or maybe I can belong here. Maybe that, like, it's so funny because I'm sure we've all had that bad, like, that feeling of like, oh, what if I just did this? Maybe it would fix that thing. I'll like find community finally.
Now you talk about your dad in your set on your album. How do you, like, I struggle with talking about my family, you know, like I don't know. I struggle with a lot of things. I'm still baby comic for all intents and purposes. I struggle with a lot finding like where the line is. I sort of tend to stray on the not crossing it, like just not going there kind of thing out of fear. But how do you find that happy balance of like, okay, I'm sharing something about my family, about a person I love, a person I have of a lot of respect, you know, feelings for, but, you know, keeping it sort of funny and silly and engaging there. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I totally get that. It's such a weird line to like walk. Cause like, yeah, like some things I'm always like, oh, I don't know if I like, if I talk about this, am I going to like get any backlash, or am I going to like anything like that? But I also lucked out that, like, similarly with Maria, like my family is super supportive of being in the arts and being in anything. So I've even run jokes by them. Like the joke I do about my dad, he actually wrote the like whole punchline of it, of the kid with peanut butter. And like, he loves it. He thinks it's so funny. He's like, yeah, that joke's good. Like, it is.
I love that joke on your album when you say the one person clapped and he's like, I told you. Yeah. It's like, it was such a good bit. Now, going into sort of staying on the topic of your album, how long did you take to get there, like build up the material and find yourself comfortable with being ready to record that?
Yeah. So I feel like when COVID hit, I was kind of in the process of starting to write it and get the material together. Cause I'd been doing comedy, like, I want to say before COVID, I was like 6 or 7 years in. And then when afterwards I was like, okay, it's time. I have like 10 years of material. I got to like get it out, get it on a thing. Like, but yeah, like it was one of those things where I was finally like, I think like what I have is ready. And like now, even afterwards, I'm ready to like start writing. Like I've been starting to write my second album already. Cause it was just like, okay, now that I've done it the first time, Band-Aid's ripped off, now I can do it again. Just kind of like work it out. But like, yeah, like 10 years of just writing and working and like just trying to figure out what pieces can fit to tell the best story almost. Like, and I think that's what Maria does best too, is like you find the flow and you find the ebb and you find everything with it. And it just like works out so well. And like making out like a whole kind of like thing that comes back at the end is so just like nice little bow at the end of it all. But like, oh man, yeah. Trying to figure out what fits where and how to like, when you're like, oh, well, this tag could work with this tag, or this could work here, or this could, if I switch this and this, it might work better, was the hardest part. I think was the actual like fitting what goes where and what to end on and what to like do for the first act or whatever. Like, trying to think of it in weird theater terms.
And I think it's kind of neat because like, I mean, you recorded Howl and Roar, correct?
Yeah.
And like Maria self-produced this special. It is like, you know, but Howl and Roar do some great work in producing albums. But it's great because it feels like it's so much easier, not easier from a creative standpoint, but from a technological standpoint, to get your content created and out there for people to consume than it used to be. Because, you know, recording a special, oh, you got to go to HBO, or, you know, you have to do like 3 Carson things and like impress the right person. But now, like, you know, she has a couple of camera people in her house, her parents on a couch, you know, Jackie Cation in the background in the kitchen thing, and she's able to record it. Or, you know, like I was saying last night, I was at an album recording, and, you know, they had the audience properly mic'd. They're taken from the board. Like, audio is like, it's so much easier. So how do you feel about that sort of lift up that the ease in technology is giving to recording and creating specials and albums?
Yeah, I think it's like really awesome, because I remember, like you said, even 5 years ago in comedy, trying to get an album recorded or trying to find a way to do it yourself was like a huge expense. It was super hard. If you did it on your own half the time too, like depending on who you got to record the sound or even the audio or the video, sometimes you would lose all of that and you would only have done like one night of it, versus like with Howl and Roar, they give you like a few options of like, do you want to do it like all in the same night? Would you rather do it a couple nights like separated, like whatever you think is best? But I think it's like super important too, because like we're like in comedy, we're one of the only like art forms where like, you know, there's it's we like, I don't know, how do I describe this properly? Like, okay, with Spotify artists and stuff specifically, let's say there's a lot of Spotifyers, there's a lot of people who can put music out and create their own music and just put it out there for people to enjoy. And like, it should be the same with comedy. Like, we should be putting like not a whole huge amount of stuff out that may not be ready or whatever, but like, it's nice to be able to like go online and like look under the comedy category and see like a plethora of things to pick through, instead of like the classic where you used to be like, oh, you see your friend's album and like five other albums that have been there since like 2005, because no one's been able to like record something new. So it's like awesome now that like there is the means to do it. And like, because we had the couple years off that like people want to re-record and want to be putting their stuff back out. And it's fun. Like, it's cool to see the different ways people put it out too. Like self-recorded people, you get to hear the difference in audio or the difference in quality depending on what they did with it, versus someone who's like with Howl and Roar, with Cottage Comedy, or likes other stuff too. Like, it's fascinating. It's cool. And I'm glad that like there's more content coming out, especially a lot of the voices coming out, like Isabel doing her album yesterday. Like, I'm so happy she's doing an album, because she's so funny and should be loved by like so many more people. So like, to have her on a platform finally where her art can be not only celebrated but like shared is so nice.
That's the thing, is like, you know, I've been to a lot of big cities. Like, I've been to New York, I've been to, you know, Chicago, and I've seen their local comedy scenes. And I mean, you know, there's some amazing comics in every city across the world, you know, like that's, but I feel that Toronto is, it's underserviced in some ways. Like, you know, we have some of the most talented comedians in the world. Mainly because, like, you know, if you go to comedy in London or like England, as opposed to London, Ontario, London, England, or New York or L.A., like, these are these places where, you know, you have the opportunity to tour, you know, you have the opportunity to make a living doing what you love. It's a hard living. It's not an easy living. But But like in Canada, and in Toronto, even like, you know, the epicenter of entertainment in Canada, you can't make a living as a comedian alone, at least for the first big chunk. So you have to do it because you love it. Like, it's, I mean, and obviously everybody who does comedy loves doing comedy, at least on some level. But it's like, you know, you have to have a passion if you want to dedicate your life to it. And like you said, like Spotifyers are able to toss out songs. And I mean, it's not easy. I'm not saying that's easy, but it's much more considered accessible, right?
Yes. So, and more acceptable too. Like, well, yeah, of course. Like, it's music. It's great.
And I mean, there it's funny because it's like people don't seem to value comedy in the same way that they value a song. You know, like, they're like, oh, well, I'll just watch you on YouTube. Well, it's like, well, you're not Like, yeah, unless you get like a million views, like, you're not going to get anything. Like,
exactly.
Come out to a show.
Yeah. Or even I feel bad when people are like, oh, do you have stuff on YouTube? I'm like, yeah, but like, wouldn't you rather hear like, the album that's also on streaming services? That's like more like, you know, like, yeah. well recorded. Yeah. That's something I recorded 10 years ago.
Cool. Well, aside from checking out your album on YouTube Music, Spotify, Deezer as well, a bunch of spaces that is hosted, what is this? Where else can people find you if they wanted to watch you perform?
Absolutely. So I'm always doing good old Roast Battles Toronto. I'm actually there for their Pride edition at the end of the month of June, which is great. But I'm going to be back there doing a bunch of stuff. And then, I normally am hanging out at Comedy Bar in the West End. I'm trying to think if I have anything like huge coming up. I don't really have anything like major coming up, but like, yeah, I'm definitely going to be like, even for tonight, going and hanging out there and like trying to hop on a few things, things like that. But you can check me out on Instagram and stuff at Sarah N. Ashby. I'm posting more roast content there finally too, which is good. You can also follow me on Threads or on Twitter, RIP, at Sarah N. Ashby on Threads, and then Smashby17 on there. I'm going to be working on my second album now and trying out some new fun stuff. So, you know, if people want to come and see this stuff when it sucks and see it when it's better later, they definitely can.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks very much for being on the show.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Comedy Album Book Club, a Far From Here Comedy and ShowbizMonkeys.com co-production. Music today was performed and produced by Glenn Beauchamp, Tim Matthews, Edith Falkenberg, and Jim Spruill, also known as the Something Something Quartet. Thanks for listening and tune in next week to Comedy Album Book Club.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.